name is Chester T. Christopher. I was born April 27, 1906 in Erie, Pennsylvania. And I moved with my parents from Erie, Pennsylvania to Kingsville, Texas, October 20th, 1906. When we started our farm operations about a mile and a half east of Kingsville, there were no fences and there was no stock law of any kind, and the King Ranch cattle used to lay around and sleep in the newly plowed ground not far from the house. But it wasn't too long a time until the King Ranch came and rounded up the cattle, and fences began going up, and things began looking like a small community had started. I started my first grade in a school in Kingsville known as the East Ward School, and my first grade teacher's name was Ida May Doty. And I remember so well that I had just gotten my smallpox vaccination, and it had not completely healed. And this, all the first grade students were lined up outside and supposed to march in. And I guess I was not standing in line, and Miss Doty got aggravated at my misbehavior and grabbed me by my arms and jerked the unhealed scab off of my vaccination and sort of caused a sore arm. And my daddy was very much upset about it, and he came to the school board and had Miss Doty to apologize to me before the class for becoming so upset. And I continued my all of my schooling in Kingsville from the first grade on through high school, and I have all my report cards from each grade as I went from one grade to the next. And something that I recall very vividly, when I got into high school where a foreign language was being offered, well, I took Spanish, which was very easy for me to learn the reading and writing of it, because I had grown up with the natives and learned to speak the Spanish language without any special teaching. In other words, I learned it from need of association with the natives in the area. And my grades were of such caliber that I did not have to take a midterm nor final examination on Spanish. The grades were sufficiently high. And after finishing high school, I went into public works at the age of 19, which is about a year and a half after that I got out of high school. And that was in 1925. The A&I was then in its infancy. The Manning Hall, of course, was not the name Manning Hall at the time, but that was the building that was being built in 1925. It was a South Texas Teachers College, and that was where I done my first public works. And I worked on that building from beginning to end, and laid all the steel pan forms, both downstairs and in the roof area of that building. And following that job, I was already working as a carpenter apprentice, and I was the first one in Clayburgh County to finish as a journeyman carpenter through a full 4 years of apprenticeship. And going back now a little, I remember the United States Army being stationed in Kingsville during 1914-15 during the bandit raids, which was coming up from the Rio Grande border, and the soldiers were stationed here. There was one company of soldiers, the 26th Infantry, and as a young boy, about 10, 11 years old, I'd go out in the camp and visit with the soldiers, and thought it was a great thing. I remember one of the soldiers gave me an old campaign hat, and I thought that was quite a thing to have. And at the King Ranch, there was a searchlight that turned at night with a very strong beam to try to light the area to show up any bandits that might be trying to slip up on the ranch headquarters, but as I recall, none ever came into this particular area. The raids was probably not nearer than 80 miles of Kingsville at any time. And the Texas Rangers was in prominence here. It was not out of the way to see these Rangers come to town wearing a gun on each side, wearing two guns, and they really looked their part as a Western law. And I was married in 1930 to Miss Elizabeth Hammerly of McAllen, Texas, and to this union there was born five children, three boys and two girls. Franklin was the oldest, and Dorothy was the second, and Martha was the third, and the fourth was another son, Martin Joseph, named after my father and my wife's father, and then the youngest, Andrew. And Andrew is now at home with us. I got it on here. Our earliest sheriff was a man by the name of Milliken. I believe it was the first sheriff that this county had. In fact, this county was formed in 1913, and the courthouse was built shortly thereafter. And one of our earliest county judges was Judge Ben F. Wilson, who held the office probably longer than any judge in a consecutive line. And one of our foremost railroad lawyers was Judge Crenshaw. He lived here for many years. My uncle lived here from about 1906 till long in the mid-20s, used to reflect on weather changes in this way, that he would say that if we have a wind blowing from Corpus Christi, why, we're sure to get a rain, which very often was the way it turned out, too. And I remember so well, we had a meeting out in an old schoolhouse, which is in the area where our naval base is now, southeast of Kingsville. In fact, the schoolhouse was right in the exact vicinity where the captain's home was. And the sheriff that we have now, Jim Scarborough, was just a young man at that time, and his father was a sheriff. And we had a contest at this particular meeting that night at this school of eating a pie. And the one that ate the pie the quickest was given a free ticket to one of our movies in Kingsville. And I remember in my haste to try to win this prize of a ticket to the movie, I ate part of the paper plate that the pie was on, but I managed to win anyhow. And that was, I was in competition with one other. I don't remember the other competitor, but I do remember very well it was Jim Scarborough's daddy that I was competing with at that particular time. During World War I, the influenza hit our area as it hit most of areas in the entire United States. And I remember so well coming to town, it was not unusual to hear the word asked, who passed away last night. There was just this one and that one, and it didn't make any difference whether it was a poor family or a rich family. It just struck all alike, just that whoever happened to get it, and there was no real good cure for it like we have for so many diseases nowadays. During Prohibition days, the law, of course, had to be very vigilant to enforce that law, whether they liked it or not, just like many laws we have nowadays, it's supposed to be enforced. And I remember so well, my brother and I were coming home from Mexican Fiesta, which was something that's held generally during the summertime when cotton picking season is on and there's quite a bit of money around. And on the way home, we were driving an old Humpmobile, and this Humpmobile was a real low-swung car, and it had a real high hump right underneath the rear seat. And we were stopped by the county sheriff, Tom Mosley, and his deputy, Charlie Burwell, about a quarter of a mile before we got home, wondering whether we might be transporting some illegal liquor. And I remember that they removed the back seat, and they noticed that hump there and began tapping on it and questioning us if that was a special compartment for placing booze in. We had a big laugh over that after they discovered it was only a mechanical part of the car. For recreation back in those days, as far as parties was concerned, well, it was very a common practice to go from one Saturday night at a certain farm home, and they would have square dances, and well, just everybody would come. There'd be a big group come in on horseback or buggies or whatever, and if it was several miles away, why, we managed to get there. We really had a nice time. It's just something you look back at. It's a different way that things are nowadays compared to the way that people enjoyed themselves then. A superstition among the natives was that if a coyote would begin howling before midnight, well, we was nearly sure of a change of weather. And then they drug it a little bit further and say, well, if it a coyote howls, well, the weather will either change or keep on as it is. Well, that is a sure bet that way. Our first hurricane hit the Kingsville area in August of 1916. It had been a very dry year, and there was no crop. And if it hadn't been for the hurricane, we wouldn't have had any crop at all that year. And I recall so well that the man that was working for us had gone out in the field with a team of horses to do some kind of field work, and he came in before noon and told my father, he says, I believe there's a storm coming. Well, back in those days, no radios, we just got a paper about once a week from Dallas in the mail. And there was a long-range forecast there that was generally 10 days in advance. And we knew that there was a storm out in the Gulf area, but there was no pinpointing of it at all. And that storm blew down our barn, and blew down our windmill, and blew down our water tower, and it done more damage to the farms than I believe it done in inside of the Kingsville city limits itself. And then the next storm, hurricane that came, that was more centered in Corpus Christi, was in September of 1919. And that same year, I remember of celebrating 4th of July, 1919, in Corpus Christi, and on North Beach, there was homes of the well-to-do all along the beach there, some very, very fine homes, homes that would cost nowadays from $40,000 to $50,000. And these homes were down on a water level. There was no rocks or anything out as a breakwater like there is in Corpus Christi today. And those houses were just leveled. And that storm did considerable damage in the farm areas. And of course, Corpus Christi was hit the hardest. And there was over 1,000 lives lost in the Corpus Christi area in 1919. During the administration of Warren G. Harding, it happened that I was a member of the Boy Scouts, and President Harding was on a trip to the Rio Grande Valley and came through Kingsville. And of course, Kingsville was a regular stop for the passenger trains, and the Boy Scouts had been designated as sort of a welcoming group. And we had a bunch of flowers to present him, and I managed to shake hands with him. It's the only president I've ever shaken hands with, and I always think of that as quite a thing. Of course, it was for a boy, a young boy, a scout, to do anything like that. The depression that hit the United States in the early 30s, of course, was felt in our area, perhaps not as strong as it was in the industrial area, because our area was more of agriculture and cattle and so forth. But I recall vividly that 5 dozen eggs sold for 25 cents and a pound of butter for 15 cents. And you could buy a good work shirt, as good a work shirt as there is, for 40 cents, and a pair of good work shoes for $1.98. The Depression hit our area, of course, later than it hit up throughout the East and industrial areas. But of course, it was last to leave here too, on account of coming later here. Labor would work for as low as $4.50 for 6 consecutive days, 10 hours a day. Feature that. That is wages that many people now get in 1 hour. The border raids that were staged in the late teens were consisted of raiding gangs that would cross the Rio Grande River and come up the railroad line in attempt to get horses and probably cattle to slaughter. And we were personally acquainted with a certain engineer whose name was Engineer Kendall, and he was a passenger engineer. And after he left the city of Harlingen in the Rio Grande Valley going on into Brownsville, why, the bandits had pulled the spikes out of one rail. A rail is 30 feet long, and it pulled the spikes out and tied ropes on each end of this rail and just left it laying where that engineer, it was at night, and left it laying in place where the engineer could not detect there was anything wrong in his track. And just before the passenger train got to this point, why, they pulled this rail away, and the engine turned over with a number of the cars, and the raiders boarded the train and robbed the passengers and killed a few, and the engineer Kendall was killed in this particular wreck. That was along in 1915 when this actually happened.